And actually, the theme for this month is creating community. And, you know, community is such a buzzword. We hear about creating community, creating community, creating community. And a lot of times when we think about creating community, we think about cloistering. You know, ghetto came up with the Jewish neighborhoods. And usually we think of these neighborhoods as cloistering and the same ethnic groups. But, you know, as our world grows, as our world changes, we look more and more not to cloistering in a way that we look for the sameness. That isn't the beloved community that we're building anymore. That isn't the spiritual community that we look to build. The spiritual community no longer homogenizes everything, usurping our individuality. No. The sacred community that we're going to be talking about for the next month and how do we create it is creating a diverse community where we all can thrive and live and be in ourselves. For we realize that we're no longer trying to all fit into a square box because being square doesn't fit for everyone, yes? And not even all squares fit in the same box. What box? What shape? But the thing is, as much as we talk about being square, it's a beautiful shape. But so is a triangle, so is a rectangle, so is a circle. All the various shapes that we are, that is what creates a community. You know why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because each and every one of us are individualized expressions of God. Each and every one of us are individual expressions of God. And we seem to forget that because every time we talk about unity or oneness, I think we believe, because we've been brainwashed this way, to think that we're supposed to be the same. That when anytime I talk about oneness or I talk about unity, that I'm telling us that we have to be the same in some way. I am not. And creating community is more about this definition. It's a sociological definition. It's a beautiful one. It says a community is best defined as a group of people who, regardless of the diversity of their backgrounds, have been able to accept and transcend their differences. Yes. Enabling them to communicate effectively and openly and to work together towards goals identified as being for the common good. And we all know that the common good, everyone, every living thing, and assuming unliving, everything needs some basic needs. We all do, no matter what we look like and who we are. It's a home. It's feeling safe. It's being protected. It's being loved. That's the common denominator. The common denominator is that we are all that. The common denominator is that we are the individualized expressions of a one God, a one presence. And God, if God is infinite, then why do we continue to try to fit into a square? If God is infinite, why do we look at these variations of what we think beauty is and not see the beauty in each and every person? Because we are all God. Created in the image and likeness of God, meaning that we are all beautiful in each and every one of our delectable and delicious ways. But we've been thought to be different, and we are not. A person experiences life, Albert Einstein says, as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of consciousness, he calls it. Our task must be to free ourselves from the self-imposed prison and through compassion to find the reality of oneness. Again, we're not talking about sameness. We're talking about living life, thriving in life, and accepting one another as the brilliant, beautiful gods and goddesses that we are. Because if God is everywhere present, if God is everywhere present, then where is God right now? The correct answer is right. Well, you and me, that's more like it. Because everywhere is easy, and everywhere puts us outside of ourselves. It's easy to think God is there and there Yeah, Roger too. But sometimes hard to realize that God is fully 1,000% every cell, every atom, right here. And it becomes the reality that once we realize that I am and you are divinely created, then we can create heaven here on earth. You know, we think heaven, we don't think of heaven as a community, do we? There's a part of us, because I guess we don't want to think of death and dying and going to heaven, but we talk about we want to be to our ancestors and all this. But if we really even think about the old time thoughts of heaven being somewhere out there, talk about an awesome community of some diversity. I mean, when you really, really go into it, and yeah, there's all these good people and stuff, and it's still good. They're still having fun. They're having the best of life. The reality is what we teach here is that heaven and hell are a state of consciousness. But if they are a state of our consciousness, what we create in our heart and our mind as a form of consciousness then manifests out in the present world. Let me say that again. Once we believe it in our hearts and our minds, we then can conceive it in this world, then we will achieve heaven here on earth. And it will no longer become just a state of consciousness. It will no longer be a grandiose, beautiful community somewhere out there in the ethers of God knows where it's at. It then becomes heaven here on earth, as the prayer says. So long as we stop compartmentalizing everything, so long as we stop separating ourselves, Thich Nhat Hanh says, people normally cut reality into components and so are unable to see the interdependence of all phenomena. To see one in all and all in one is to break through a great barrier which narrows one's perception of reality. And the narrow perception of reality is that narrowness that we fall into, that you hear in the news, that of people being scary because they're different than us. People aren't scary because they're different than us. People are great because they're different than us. Can you imagine a world of everyone who was just alike? Ay, ay, ay. I was at the post office. We were doing, the church was doing, if you're members, you saw that we were doing some huge mailers. I was getting stamps, and I was just kind of blindfully just kind of waiting in line. And I saw this post worker happily coming in, which for a postal worker. And so at our post office on Central, there's a bunch of tables really close. And I noticed that he came in, gloves on, he just swiped away all the garbage that was on the table, and there was a wastebasket here. And then he would swipe out some more, and there was a wastebasket here. And I was like, wow, people really just leave stuff hanging around. He turned around, and I noticed that he shoved away a used napkin or tissue. Thank you. And so I couldn't stop myself. I said, some people... Me and my little judgment, the nerve of some people. He looked up, he said, excuse me? I said, the nerve of some people leaving their used Kleenex and the trash all over the place when there's bins right there. And he just happily said, well, you know, everyone's different. What would life be if we were all the same? Now, if I were... in the drama, you'd be able to see my eyes winking. What a beautiful lesson for a minister to hear. That doesn't matter what mistakes that we make, where we might think mindlessness, where my judgments are coming from, or what my judgments are all about. If we were all the same and acted the same, what would this world be like? It would be a little miserable, I think. I think it'd be a little stale, a little boring. I believe that if everyone acted the same, was the same, it would be very deadly. Because it wouldn't express the diverseness of the presence, the infinite of God. See, we are used to finite. As humans, we can figure out finite. We live in finite. It has to be this way or this way. 1 plus 1 equals 2 can't be anything else if we're doing addition, except that unless we're doing subtraction, 1 minus 1 equals 0. Woohoo! But it has to be finite. There has to be a beginning. There has to be an end. And if we're talking about writing, there's an intro, there's a body, there's a conclusion. Finite, but we can't get in our heads. Infinite, ever-growing, ever moving forward. And when we talk about community, even in sociological standpoints, communities are growing all the time. They're not finite. They're ever changing. They're ever evolving because the people who come into the community hopefully are ever evolving, ever changing. And that is the only way that any community, especially a community to change into a spiritual community. I'm not talking about a holy roller. I'm not talking about evangelizing. I am talking about realizing that you are the living presence of God and that whomever you are in community with is also the living presence of God and that we all accept one another in our diversity. Accept. There's a word I hate. I always forget and I never write it down. Help me out, Roger. What did I say? Tolerate. And we said at the same time, we're a good team. It isn't about tolerating. You know, we get that a lot, especially in religiosity. You know, it's that whole kind of feeling of, you know, I hate the sin, but love the sinner sort of thing. So I'll tolerate you because I have these judgments about you. That isn't what this spiritual community is. It is even getting back to what we even say. Terry, can you get us to our statement of oneness, please? It is about creating a sense that it is all right for me to be different than you. Actually, it is delightful because I am then envisioning, I can see in front of my face and I can experience right in front of me an expression of God. Every time we read our statement of oneness, I want you to think of it as a commitment to community. Thank you, Robin. Every time, and thank you, Terry. So, the commitment to community, creating a community, is even right here. The power of Christ's love. What is Christ's love? It is that common denominator that moves through each and every one of us. It is that aspect of us that wants to just live and love one another. Because once you're filled up with that Christ love, that love from the divine mind, that great idea of the divine child of God, which we are, you're bubbled up. You can't keep it in. It's toxic. It's beautifully toxic. That's the kind of toxic we want, is through that power of Christ's love, that we can release any sense of separation, those barriers that we put in between ourselves that create fear, create a lack of not wanting to know the square pegs or those circles. It frees us from any of those separations from spirit. And if it's from spirit, then it is from one another. Because we come to the realization that there is only one presence. We come to the realization that there is only one power. And again, it is not sameness. Each and every one of us are different, but we are the beloved daughters and sons of God. It is oneness of one presence, one power, the life, and in our universe. And that presence is of God. And when we come to really realize that no matter who is walking down the street, no matter what the mistakes have been, no matter what mistakes ours have been, we are the perfect creation of God, we can then look at the other person and say, you know what? I don't care. I don't care about your mistakes. I'm looking at God. I don't care about what you think you did. I'm looking at God. I do care that I'm looking at the most beautiful creation here on earth. And I'm looking at another beautiful creation and another one. And to be in awe of God. You know, a lot of times in the Bible, when they talk about being in fear of God, it's being in awe. It's another word of awe. It's not being scared of. It is seeing the miraculous in everyone. And once we do that continually, not just some of the time, not here just in this church, but when we create a community outside of our spiritual centers and see that every aspect of this world is a spiritual opportunity to create community, then we will create heaven here on earth, and we will live in a joy-filled place where there will not be any fear, and we can hold strong to who we are and not try to conform to anyone else, because we will realize that each and every one of us is the ultimate aspect of God. And so with that, let us move forward in the knowing of this week's affirmation. I'll read it to you, our denial and our affirmation. The denial is the, oops. I forgot I had you go all the way to the front. Sorry, Terry. And so, as I tap dance a little bit, looking at the bamboo community, which bamboo is an awesome community. It's a strong community. I am serious now. I am. But it is a strong, it is. I am still on bamboo, people. Thank you. Because truly, I mean, bamboo is thought to be invasive, but it's a strong community. This thing that looks so weak because it stands together in unison, and it doesn't have to be the same, but it still comes together, creates a strong, powerful, beautiful community. That is what we're here to do. Our denial. Thank you, Terry. I will not allow current media to fill me with fear about people around me. Affirmation. I am feeling tremendous, loving, joyful, and creative energy as I speak from a place of already seeing people in their greatness. Can we feel that? Can we agree to that? Then let's say our denial and affirmation together. I will not allow current media to fill me with fear about people around me. I am feeling tremendous, loving, joyful, and creative energy as I speak from a place of already seeing people in their greatness. And so it is. Amen.